Thank you. Oh, thank you. I really find that theme such an exhausting, you know. Oh, blowing those four notes at the beginning of the show, it takes it out of you, you know. You need a lot of breath to play them, you know. And then there's the great strain of holding that euphonium up in the playing position, waiting for the red light to go on. Say nothing of the nerves and tension. Will I get it right? Will the valves get stuck? And then the sheer physical effort of forcing those four notes out. Oh, it's a strain. That's my trouble, you see. I'm short-winded, you see.
I only wish you were, Jim. Anyway, you'd know what physical effort really was if you'd been doing what I've been doing today.
What have you been doing here?
Well, I've been down on the building site of my new theater, lending a hand.
Oh, Jimmy, you should have seen those chaps. They really put their backs into it. No effort was spared to get the job in hand done. The progress has been fantastic.
What have they built, then?
The little hut where they have their tea. And I've been working shoulder to shoulder with them.
Bentley, what do you know about building?
Oh, you'll be surprised. I was very useful helping with the cement. You know what a good mixer I am, you know. And then I did all sorts of jobs carrying bricks, and I even had a go with the bulldozer.
What did you do with the bulldozer?
Knock down the little hut where they have their tea.
Tell me, Bentley, as if I cared, how did your fellow workmen feel about you helping out?
Oh, they thought the world of me.
Where are you, Mr. Bentley?
Oh, it's the foreman.
Yeah.
Well, what is it, Harry?
Would you do us a favor, Mr. Bentley?
Jimmy, what to tell you?
Yeah, well, Harry, what is it? Don't ever come to the building site again, please.
Oh, don't be silly. There's no trouble at all.
Trouble? I didn't know what trouble was till you come down there today.
Ah. Now we're getting down to the truth. Come on, tell us about it, Harry.
Yeah, well, I hardly know where to begin, really. Shall I tell you about the girders first?
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Edwards, about the trifling.
Yes. Tell us about the girders,
Harry. It was like this here, you see. We haven't got a crane to lift the girders, so we were wondering how to shift them. And Mr. Bentley here has a bright idea. Who's your strongest man, he says? Fred, I said. So with that, he whips Fred over to the pub and fills him up with stout.
Well, I saw that advertisement, you know, the chap carrying a girder, and I thought that there must be...
Go on, Harry. Did Fred manage to lift the girder?
No, he was so drunk he wanted to fight everybody. Well, the last straw, that was when the blokes found out Mr. Bentley wasn't in the union. Then they got a strike on me, and...
Ah, but I carried on working. And you know, Jimmy, they had the audacity to call me a blackleg.
Well, if you will wear those tight-fitting jeans, what can you expect?
Well, you see how it is. Now, please, Mr. Bentley, don't come down to the site again.
Well, I should take his advice, Bentley. They sound as if they mean business.
Oh, very well, if they feel they can do without me. But, Harry, I only hope the work will get done quickly.
Oh, I think you can depend on that, Mr. Bentley. After all, we're the building trade, take a pride in our profession. We're all highly skilled, competent workmen, you know. Yes, our blokes know what they're doing.
Harry, come back to the site, quick.
Now what's happened?
It's Fred again.
What's he done now?
He's fallen into the cement mixer.
Oh. As usual, first with the news. Take this week's front page story.
Asian flu panic.
There was a panic at the Kowloon Chinese Laundry, Hammersmith, yesterday when it was discovered that their chimney was on fire.
Record news by disc jockey. I was unable to review any records this week as my record player has broken down. Therefore, I cannot recommend any new discs until I get a new record player. Wine tasting by Tipsy.
I've just sampled a new Latin wine. It's actually a hic, hic, hoc. Quite innocuous, and at a party, you can't go wrong with a drink like this. So there's not much point in drinking it, is there?
And so to our main feature, the story of an intrepid test pilot's adventure into the unknown. Richard Jet Caldicott says... Watch this space.
I come from a flying family. Grandfather was a balloonist. Father was with the old flying corps. And mother was with Kirby's Flying Ballet. It's only natural that I should be a test pilot. I'm chief test pilot for Sir Humphrey Stevenson, the famous aircraft designer.
Come here, Caldicott. I want to show you something on my drawing board. There. What do you think of her?
A wizard. Absolutely. Bang on. What is it?
An aeroplane, you fool. My new supersonic twin jet Delta. Mark 753.
Mark 753, eh?
Yes, I've been dogged by bad luck. This will be rather different. Take a good look, Caldecott. Notice anything?
Good heavens, sir. It's quite unlike anything you've ever designed before.
It's got wings. Exactly. I now know where the others failed. Perhaps you'd like to see the model in here.
Oh, sir. She's beautiful.
Not her. That's my daughter. Penelope, this is Richard Caldecott.
Oh, hello. So your daddy's famous test pilot.
Yes. Remind me to put you to the test sometime.
Oh, Mr. Caldecott, you are a little imp.
No. It's just that he's got his flying helmet on. Well, here it is, Caldecott, the Mark 753. I'm calling it the Penelope, after my daughter. Well, the prototype will be ready in a week. It's top priority. We've got to get the model construction kit in the shop by Christmas.
I can't wait to take her up.
And I shall be there to see you, Mr. Caldecott. Oh, Daddy, I'm frightened.
There's no need to be, my dear. Richard, the first class pilot, he knows exactly what he's doing.
Hello, Sir Humphrey. I'm on the end of the runway now. Can you see me?
Yes, Caldecott, I can see you. But where's the plane?
Oh.
It's right behind you.
Oh, dear. Right, well, I'm getting in now. Starting her up.
All right, Caldecott. Taxi up the runway.
Well, get it out of the way. I'll take it off.
Good luck, Caldecott. Hello, people, Penelope. Hello, P for Penelope. Control tower here. Are you receiving me? Over.
Hello, K for control. Receiving you loud and clear. I'm leveling out at 20,000 feet. It's a little bump there.
How's your rudder?
A bit uncomfortable. Never mind. I'll bring it to you next time. Right. Going into dive.
Holy God, you're coming down too fast. Pull her out. Pull her out, man. Empty. Pull her out.
Up.
Pull her out! Press your button!
Right.
Wrong button, you supersonic nit! All right, Caldecott, you've done enough damage for one day. Bring her down.
Coming into land now.
Look, Daddy, has he gone through the sound barrier?
No, he's gone through the door of the hangar. Oh, he's a...
Hello there. Well, Sir Humphrey, when you started on the Mark 754.
Come here, Caldecott.
Yes. Oh, Daddy, don't be too hard on him. I'm sure he didn't mean any harm.
Well, of course I didn't. It was my fault. I just lost control.
Yes, Daddy, he is rather inclined to do that.
Oh. Do you realize you've just ruined a plane that cost £800,000?
Oh, well, if that's all that's worrying you, I mean, you can stop it out of my salary. Well, what's my next assignment?
You're grounded!
Oh, but you can't do that. Not to a good pilot. If I can't fly, you might just as well shoot me.
That's a very good idea. Where's my revolver?
Daddy, no! You must give Richard another chance.
What? I tell you, Penelope, that young man ought to be put somewhere where he can do no more harm. He ought to be... Just a minute. Caldecott, I've changed my mind. I will give you another chance. Report to me at 0800 hours tomorrow. I have a special assignment for you.
Oh, thank you, sir. I knew you'd see it my way. Here.
Oh, Daddy, you are a prophet.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving Richard a special assignment. What is it?
Well, it's a secret project that we've been working on for some time. With any luck, your Mr. Richard Caldecott will be the first man on the moon.
Oh, Daddy.
Interplanetary Association are behind you all the way. But does this fellow Caldecott know what to expect?
Yeah. Come in, Caldecott. Ah, Caldecott. I'd like you to meet Sir Daniel Philpott. chairman of the Interplanetary Association.
Good evening. Good evening.
Caldicott, we're sending you to the moon.
I said. Did you say moon, sir?
That's what I said, Caldicott. You know that round silver object in the sky with a sort of face on it? You heard of the man in the moon?
Don't be silly. There's no man in the moon.
But there very soon will be. Now, Caldicott, we've got to prepare you for this journey into the unknown. 3 weeks of grueling preparation, starting now. Just step into this cabinet. The refrigeration chamber, Sir Daniel.
Yes. Must get him acclimatized.
Yes, I'll just put it at 50 degrees below zero.
Oh, yes.
That'll do for a start. Now, where should we go for lunch?
Richard, perhaps it's just imagination, but somehow these last 3 weeks, I have a feeling that you've become cold towards me.
Well, I can't help it. I've been in the fridge most of the time.
Here's your scotch.
No, thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Penelope, the date has been set. I leave for the moon tomorrow.
Oh, so soon.
You'll come down to see me off?
Yes, of course. What time?
I'll come about 12:30. We're launching at once.
Well, now then, Caldicott, have you checked your equipment?
Yes, sir. Space helmet, a space suit, and a Union Jack.
Ah, good man. Now, are you quite comfortable in the pressurized cabin?
Oh, yes, sir, very. There's just one thing.
Oh.
I've forgotten the whole procedure to take off.
Oh, get out of blithering thing, Caldicott. Get out! Let me get in there. Now then, I'll show you again. Now, you strap yourself into the seat like this.
Yes.
You keep your right hand here on the oxygen control. Your left hand on the microphatic integrator. The gravity meter. That's all you do. The rest is up to us.
Yes. And you just press this button here, so, and...
Oh, you are clumsy, Richard. You shot Daddy in space.
Oh, dear. I always seem to be doing the wrong thing. Do you think it'd be very cool?
Well, I really don't know.
Well, the rocket's gone into orbit. We are picking up the signals now.
Oh, listen.
You wait, Caldicott. If I ever get back, I'll break every bone in your body. Time, gentlemen, please, your glasses here.
Come along, Mr. Glum. You'll have to move.
I'm pleased to announce Ted I can't.
Uh-oh. Oh, you just sit there and simmer while I clear the bar.
Ed, you know, if it hadn't been for me, Ron would be working for a living. All because of me. Our dreams of Ron, the working man, they've crashed to the ground.
You tell me about it.
Pour us a brown ale and I will.
Pour up.
Making me ache all over.
That's just the pleasant tiredness of work well done. Here, your mother's made some of her special broth.
Oh, wait a minute, Jeff, while I take my boots off. There's one all. Jeff, help me with the other one.
Righty-ho, I'll just put this down. Now, give me your foot.
Oh, that's a relief. This bowl of hot water is doing my feet a lot of good.
Oh, Ron, that's the broth.
Oh, so it is. Look, I've got a carrot on my big toe.
Oh, Ron, I'm going all agog. Tell me about your new position.
I'm sitting on the sofa with my feet in a bowl of Mum's broth.
Oh, not that. Your new post.
Oh.
I know you've got a job with the newspapers, but what exactly do you do?
I deliver the mess.
Oh. Oh, well, it's a beginning.
Oh, well.
Many great men started their career delivering papers. Honestly, Ron, I can't understand you being so tired out.
It's a long walk, eh?
A walk? Well, why don't you go on your bike?
I can't. Dad sold it.
Sold it? Oh, I might have known. What did he get?
Drunk, eh?
I'm not surprised. Oh, the thought of your father swimming down the profits of your bicycle, it makes me see red.
Hello, hello, hello. Oh, very cozy. Looks like a scene from Dickens, Bleak House. Excuse me intruding on this domestic scene, but I wonder if you see Mrs. Glum's umbrella. The sink's bunged up again.
Mr. Glum, we've just been talking about you.
Oh, have you? Oh, so that's why my ears are burning, eh? I thought for a minute I hadn't put my fag end out properly.
Your callous attitude to Ron's welfare is seriously interfering with his career in the world of business.
Oh, I suppose you're referring in your typical way to my selling his bicycle.
Yes.
Well, I thought it'd be for his own good. Put him on his feet.
Well, quite on the contrary.
Oh?
Your heartlessness has put Ron in a very awkward position.
Yes. I'm in the soup, Dad.
Ron, take your feet out of the broth.
Yes, if I concentrate, I can balance a pea on my piggy.
Oh, Mr. Glum, Ron has got to have a bicycle.
I need a bicycle, Dad. By the time I've delivered the morning papers, the evening papers are coming out. I've got an obligation to my readers, Dad. The only ones who don't seem to mind are the people on night work.
Here, doesn't Mr. Gates next door, doesn't he work nights?
Yes, that's right.
Well, why not use his bike then? He gets home at 6 o'clock, he leaves the machine in his front garden all day, and he don't use it again till he goes to work in the evening. You could use that. I'm sure old Gates would say yes.
I don't think he would say yes, eh?
Well, there's a defeatist attitude for you. Why shouldn't he say yes?
He doesn't speak to us, Dad.
Doesn't he?
You see, Mr. Gates and me, we fell out during the war. All that time ago, it was over my escape plan.
Oh, were you both prisoners of war?
Well, not exactly prisoners, no, no.
Mr. Gates caught Dad helping his rabbits to escape. Dad dug a tunnel under the wire.
Any man in my position would have done the same. Those rabbits had a right to their freedom. Besides, I fancied a bit of rabbit pie. I like a bit of rabbit, but I still do.
It seems silly of him to bear a grudge so long.
Oh, well, you see, he's bitter. And when you're bitter, you can bear a grudge, you know. He's bitter. I can still remember his language when he caught me with them rabbits. Hurtful, bitter words. Words that I would never use. Words like policeman and magistrate's court and the law. There's no forgiveness in a man who can say things like that.
So you see, if Mr. Gates would never lend me his bicycle.
No, no, he wouldn't lend it to you, no. But suppose you borrowed it.
Borrowed it?
Yeah. Wait till he goes indoors in the morning, use the bike for your paper round during the day, and have it back in place by the time he wants it for work again. It's simple.
Well, I suppose it'd work. He'd never know.
Of course he wouldn't. And what he don't know won't hurt him.
Well, then, that's settled then.
Pass us my boots, eh?
All right, Ron. Oh, where are you going?
Oh, I'm just going to pop next door and ask Mr. Gates if I can borrow his cycle clip.
Oh. Dear, dear, dear. It's people like Ron who turn state secrets into front page stories. Listen, I was thinking.
Yes.
Ron's got to get up early in the morning, hasn't he?
Yes, Mr. Glum, but I...
Well, I mean, he'll never get up of his own accord. You better stay the night so as to be on hand at 8 hour.
Oh, what about you, Mr. Glum?
Dad sleeps heavier than me.
Yeah. I do sleep heavy. I do, you know.
Yes.
I enjoy that deep, satisfying sleep that only comes after closing time.
But I don't see how I can sleep here, Mr. Glum.
You can have Ron's room.
But where will Ron sleep?
Does that answer your question? He's happy where he is. Flat out on the floor with his head cradled on his boots. He'll stay like that till morning, and then it's Operation Bicycle.
Ron? Wake up, Ron. It's just gone
I'd better be stirring.
Music in the morning. Oh, my head. Oh, dear. That's what comes of burning the midnight oil at both ends. I was up half the night experimenting.
Experimenting, Mr. Plum?
Yes, gee. I was trying to find out how much gin you can add to a brown ale without changing the flavor. Ed, what are you doing here?
Don't you remember, Dad?
What? No, I don't.
Neither do I.
Mr. Plum, yes. You asked me to stay the night to see that Ron got up for work. His paper round.
Yes, all right, don't shout. Yes, all right. Oh, I remember. Yes, we got a half inch, Mr. Gates's bite. Yes. I'll just see if the coast is clear.
Yes,
you're
all right. The bite's there.
Just going to
find a light from the
house. Oh. Oh, it's a nasty, raw morning. Damp and foggy and horrible. Well, good luck, Ron. I'm going back to bed.
Well, go on, then, Ron. Off you go. I won't come out because I might attract attention. Good luck, Ron.
Tap our hip. I'll be back in no time.
Oh, well, nothing for me to do now but wait.
That'll be Ron now. About time. He's been away all day.
Oh, I'll go. I wonder what happened to keep him so long.
Where's that man, Glum? I'll have the law on him.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Gator. Yeah. Time hasn't mellowed you, then.
My rabbits was bad enough, but this is an outrage. Where's my bike?
Well, I haven't seen your bike.
Yes, you have. You stole it. Hey. You stole it while I was asleep. You sent that son of yours off to study. The lady at number 23 saw him.
Oh, no, Mr. Gates, I'm sure you've every reason to be angry, but your bike wasn't stolen. It was merely borrowed at 7 o'clock this morning.
But it's 8 o'clock at night now. I need it to get to my work.
Well, Ron should have been back hours ago.
Oh, I do hope he hasn't had an accident.
An accident? Oh, me poor bike.
No, your bike. Don't worry. There's probably a good reason for his delay.
There'd better be, or I'll have the police man.
Say that word again. Your language don't get no choice, sir. Do it, Mr. Gates.
Language. You'll hear some language if I don't get me bike back.
Oh, here it is, Mr. Gates.
Thank you very much. And you'll be hearing more about this.
Ron. Oh, help me, Mr. Glum. It's tottering. Oh. Sit down, Ron. Would you like some soup?
No, thanks. I've had enough trouble today.
What's happened? Where have you been?
Doing my paper round. When I got back to the shop, I gave my notice. It's too tiring for me.
It's wrong you had the bike. Didn't
it help? No effort made matters worse. I had to carry it on my back all day.
Why?
Well, Dad, you didn't tell me Mr. Gates always keeps his padlock.
Oh.